Your SteveJonesShow.com podcast audio is loading now. Today's SteveJonesShow.com podcast audio is sponsored by Purdy Insurance, Market Street, Sunbury, and online at PurdyInsurance.com.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
We decided to drop our lawsuit against Mariano Rivera.
Took me a bit, but I figured it out.
It's his last season.
It won't matter anymore,
it's
right?
It's his last season. He can steal the Steve Jones Show theme song.
Hey, how about the ultimate respect?
I'll say this. So he walks in. I hear that. That's pretty cool.
How about the ultimate respect when he came into the game, even after everything that was going on with Boston and the Yankees over the last several years, that he gets, you know, the applause that he got the other night?
I would have given him a standing ovation.
I mean, it's deserved. Don't get me wrong.
I was thinking the other day about who I would put out as my first team all-time baseball team. Just, you know, time in the car, you start thinking. I would put Gehrig at first. I'd put Joe Morgan at second. I think I would put Derek Jeter at shortstop over Ernie Banks. I'd probably put Derek Jeter at shortstop. I put Mike Schmidt at third. Hank Aaron in left. Willie Mays in center. Babe Ruth in right. Johnny Bench behind the plate. Now, starting pitchers, a little tougher comes to starting pitchers. But maybe you look at, like, if you're going to look at all-time wins and so forth, you know, right-handed starter like Cy Young, you know, left-handed starter by Warren Spahn. But if I had to pick my relief pitcher, it would be automatic. It would be Mariano Rivera. And if I had to pick a DH, it would be David Ortiz. You have to pick somebody who's in the role, because the role's different than being an everyday player. So in other words, you can't just sit there and say, gee, I'll pick Joe DiMaggio, Ted Williams, Roberto Clemente, Ty Cobb. You can't say that because they were never a DH. So you have to actually pick somebody who did the job. And I think Ortiz is the greatest DH I've ever seen. So on my all-time team, as a Red Sox fan, I put three Yankees out there, including two that are on the current team. So I think at least you can say I'm fair. Like somebody raid the building and take you hostage, or
no? I'm finishing up the post for the photo that I was talking about.
Oh,
on SteveJonesShow.com.
Photo. I haven't even seen the photo.
And nobody tried to photobomb it either. It's just it's a good picture of Steve and Jack. So go to SteveJonesShow.com. That's where we have it. Courtesy of PennLive.com.
Fabulous.
I know you love this.
Well. Jeff said, well, we'll have to put something. I said, whatever.
We might have to do a, you put the caption in for this photo.
Might as well.
Because you're definitely in deep thought in this photo and discussing something on the field.
Does Jack look like he's listening?
Yes. Oh, yes, wow. Intently. Intently, I might add. See, I've come up with a couple of them. My first one is, okay, that's the 3-4. There's one, two, three guys up front.
Well, if anybody wants to make a comment on the photo and what they allegedly think I'm thinking, you have the advantage on me. I haven't seen it yet.
Well, you can go to SteveJonesShow.com right now.
Yeah. And do it. Why, you know, why not? Charlie Manuel was fired, I think, unjustifiably so. I should have let him finish the season. Then make a decision going forward. If you wanted to turn things over to Ryan Sandberg, maybe go with just a different voice, a youth movement, whatever you want to call it, so be it. So I didn't think that was handled right. Yeah, it's been interesting because, look, I was talking a month and a half ago on the show about a fire sale for the Phillies.
Not a get-fired sale.
Right. And a list of guys that, as sellers, they would get rid of. They got rid of none of them. Still have Michael Young, who did clear waivers. They still have Chase Utley, signed him to a contract extension. They still have Papelbon, but nobody really wants him. They still have Jimmy Rollins, who I don't think wants to be traded. And I think Rollins' support of Charlie Manuel was touching. They still have, you know, they couldn't move. It was impossible to move Ryan Howard anyway. He's injured. And they still have Ruiz. They still have everybody. Still have the same team. Nothing's changed. Then your team plays tonight. Redmond and Bell are both out.
Yeah.
RG3's out. And I know that we are constantly in this 24-hour discussion cycle on things. So now the discussion du jour is about A-Rod and last night. Who knows what tomorrow's lead topic is going to be? We now have Fox Sports 1, which will add to the discussion. And I watched it briefly the other night. It was Andy Roddick and Donovan McNabb and Gabe Kapler debating A-Rod appealing and still playing. And I'm somebody that filler programming doesn't appeal to me any longer. And again, this is only a personal point of view. I mean, because you as fans can have a completely different. I mean, Kevin, you love watching any NFL pregame show or any IndyCar pregame, right? Pre-race.
Yeah, I'll watch a lot of them. Yeah,
and I think that's fine. It's just a personal preference on my part. In the 60s and 70s, I always watched the NFL Today. I loved watching the NFL Today. But it was also a different era because cable wasn't in existence then. So when you had the NFL Today and NBC had its show as well, finally. They finally kicked it into gear.
Was that NFL Live?
NFL Live, I think it was called. But I would watch the NFL Today. And originally, it was Frank Gifford was the host. And
see,
it was great.
I remember that. I remembered Musburger, but I don't remember Gifford.
Yeah, Frank Gifford, Jack Whitaker, you know, before they had Brent Musburger. And it was great because it would catch you up to date and everything, show highlights, things like that. I really, really enjoyed it. But it was the only option the entire week to get you ready for an NFL Sunday. Well, now we have options galore. NBC Sportsnet has its, NFL Network has its, ESPN has its, Fox has it, CBS has it, NBC has a version of it on Sunday night. Everybody has it, and it's hours and hours and hours of it. And there are diehard fans that watch these programs. Great. My personal preference is when it hits 1 o'clock, that's when I tune in. I want to see the games. But that's a personal preference. I mean, if people want to watch hours of pregame shows leading up to it, I'd say go for it. Have a good time. I mean, if you're getting enjoyment out of that, that's terrific. But I can't. You know, when it comes to the filler programming, you know, I really struggle. I can't watch Around the Horn. I might see maybe Sports Reporters once in a while. Might watch a little bit of Outside the Lines once in a while, depending on the topic. PTI I'll watch. I find that to be fun, entertaining. It's, you know, short and sweet. And you know, we've discussed SportsCenter 1,000 times. The thing of watching F1 was that it's busy. You know, the right side of the panel has information and graphic information. Bottom has scores, so forth. It's busy. I don't know yet. You know, again, I'm out of the demographic range. I've long since passed the 18 to 49 your old graphic that they talk about, or demographic that they talk about. It's just not my bag. So, but when it comes to games, I think Fox is going to do the same. You know, NBC Sportsnet's game coverage is great. I think that ESPN's game coverage is great. I thought ESPN business-wise did a great job of locking up long-term contracts in anticipation of this. I mean, their business sense on the long... That's why the Big Ten going last is interesting, because the Big Ten's contracts will run out in 2016, and they could be in for the most money of anybody, because there's going to be a legitimate competition in bidding. Now, ESPN has shown restraint in its bidding over the years, because, you know, take, for example, the NCAA basketball tournament. I think everyone thought that they would step up. It's ESPN. They'll take it. You know, here's the golden opportunity. And they came up second in the bid to CBS, TBS, and the combo. And ESPN bid a lot of money, but they didn't want to go further than where they went. ESPN does have other responsibilities. When you are the single greatest revenue producer in the Disney chain, not all of your money stays in-house. Because if Touchstone Pictures is having a tough year, they need to take from that side of the ledger. If Disney World, Disneyland, Euro Disney, Disney Asia are struggling, they take from that till. If ABC's struggling, they take from this. There's a little bit siphoned off here and there to properties that aren't doing as well. So ESPN actually has some financial restrictions on them, despite being the most profitable arm of Disney. So the Big Ten could see a large rights fee increase that could garner schools maybe $40 to $45 million apiece starting in 2017. And it's Jim Delaney's responsibility to negotiate that out with all the partners, ESPN, Fox, CBS. Maybe NBC gets involved. I don't know. We'll see. Our number, 800-795-9565, 800-795-9565. Kevin evidently has started a caption contest.
On Facebook, I have the photo of Steve and Jack. And please, you know, let's be tasteful with this. All right? I'm assuming the folks who listen to the program will do that. Feel free to put a caption. Mine is, okay, so the 3-4 has 1, 2, 3 linemen and 1, 2, 3, 4 linebackers, right, Jack?
Oh, boy. Our number, 800-795-9565.
Now you're going to Facebook and going, oh, great, here we go. What's he putting on now?
No need. Well, we'll come back with more on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Even when they grow up, your kids can still surprise you. My son calls to tell me he bought his first new car, picked the make, model, and dealer all by himself, and negotiated his own deal. But when it came to insuring his new ride, he wanted Dad's advice. I told him one word, Selective. They've always done right by me. It's nice to know you're still needed.
Get to know your local Selective agent, Pretty Insurance, on Market Street in Sunbury or at prettyinsurance.com. Find out what Pretty Insurance can do for you.
Ready for a quality pre-owned vehicle? Well, get them before they go to auction at Sunbury Motors. Go to sunburymotors.com and click on pre-auction blowout.
Like a 2006 Ford Explorer 4-liter XLT with new rotors and new brake lining, just $11,499. 2011 Ford Fiesta 4-door sedan, $12,494. 2005 Dodge Dakota 4-door quad cab, $12,994. 2007 Lincoln MKZ 4-wheel drive sedan, $12,995. 2006 Pontiac Solstice 2-door convertible, super low miles, only $15,521. And a 2010 Honda Odyssey 5-door EXL. Call for price, 888-536-8017.
All come with a Carfax report and our lowest price promise. Pre-auction blowout. 24-7 at sunburymotors.com, at the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at our dealership, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sunbury Motors, a tradition of trust since 1915.
Went deep into the archives on that one, didn't you?
Yes, I did. That was 1978.
Was it really?
Yeah. And Brent Musburger was the host with Jane Kennedy and Irv Cross.
Irv Cross, who did a really nice job.
Yes, he did.
Musburger was great at it. You know, there are a lot of really good hosts out there. I mean, Musburger was great at it. Bob Costas, when he hosted, was terrific at it. Brian Gumbel. Certainly terrific at it. I mean, steady. What Chris Fowler does on game day, I mean, I have not been on the set, but it doesn't look to me like there's a teleprompter down there. And to go through 2 hours like that as seamlessly as he does with Kirk Herbstreit and Lee Corso and so forth, I think they do an amazing job. Now, that is, by the way, a show I'll watch. I'll watch College Game Day.
Oh, no question.
I will always, I do. I was talking about the NFL shows, you know, but I will watch College Game Day every week. I just think that's really, really well done. I enjoy it. Same thing with basketball. I think Reese Davis is an excellent host and does a nice job with it as well. But, yeah, well, it goes deep into the archives, doesn't it?
Well, and you know what? There's a generation that knows Irv Cross more from the NFL today than anything else.
Sure, because he was an excellent player when he was with the Philadelphia Eagles. And obviously, and I think, wasn't he the athletic director at Idaho?
Now that I don't know.
Later in his life. So.
Let me look that up.
I think. Steelers play tonight. They'll take on the Washington Redskins. It's preseason game number 2, but it looks like Redmond and Bell will not play tonight in the backfield. Both getting bumped up last week. I think they have to be just a bit concerned about Bell in that here they've had back-to-back weeks and he's been bumped up and hasn't played yet at Michigan State. He seemed to be the embodiment of durability.
See, I was glad you said that because that's my concern too, and it does make you a little nervous. Here's a guy that is projected to be the starter at your running back slot, and he hasn't played a game yet in the preseason.
Right.
Can he be ready to go in week one?
What is it, 3 weeks away?
About that.
I don't know how deep his injury is. I don't know.
I guess it was re-aggravated. Can you re-aggravate? I don't know. Anyway, it looks like his injury was aggravated over the last week, so that's why they're sitting him out one more week. And Irv Cross was the AD at Idaho State from 96 to 98.
Idaho State. Okay. Okay. Well, I thought he was very good in the air. I thought he did a good job. All these guys do. Like Tom Jackson. When I see Tom Jackson, I think Tom Jackson does a great job. Intelligent, thoughtful commentary. Herbstreit. You know, Corso, I mean, you know, they have something called a Q score. What Q scores are, they're basic likability scores. You know, if you have a great Q score, the audience really likes you. If you have a low Q score, the audience doesn't like you. You know, everything's all about personal taste. It's all about personal taste. So, that's what this, a lot of this business comes down to. You can be prepared and so forth. And if they don't like you, they don't like you. If they like you, they like you. So, you have to just make sure you go out every week and be prepared and do your job. And maybe the likable side of your personality comes through.
I'm not a huge fan of Mark May and Lou Holtz together. I think they cut each other off more than I cut you off.
I'm sorry, say that again?
I said they end up cutting each other off more often than I cut you off.
Oh, well, you don't cut me off.
Not on purpose, anyway.
No, we have a good time every day. Oh, boy.
So, yes.
You don't cut me off. Hopefully I don't cut you off. You're just as important as I am.
No. So, it's never been an issue.
Hopefully I don't cut you off.
Well, they sit there and they'll discuss everything back and forth and it's fine. But then they get into, Mark wants to one-up Lou and Lou wants to one-up Mark. And then it's like, all right, I'm done now. Let's end halftime and go to the next game or go to the second half or go to the next game.
But the one part you don't, I'm not trying to defend anybody, but the one part you don't know is you don't know how much what it's like behind the scenes.
That's true. Maybe they get along really, really well.
Right. And maybe they plan it out. I don't know.
Good point.
And maybe they don't and it just ends up that way. I don't know.
Make me feel better about the Steelers, will you please, next half hour?
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. I'm safely ensconced in the Sunbury Motor Studio. That's my broadcast partner, Jack Ham. When he was in here one day, looked around and said, "You're broadcasting from your chateau." So ever since then, we've called it the chateau. There you go. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Key, which 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. There. We had Charlie Kimball on earlier today discussing IndyCar racing and the life of an IndyCar driver that faces a few more challenges than others because he's type 1 diabetic. And it's a challenge that we discussed, and you can hear it on our podcast, by the way. But you have to give him a lot of credit. And also, life is different now for diabetics than 30, 40 years ago. And I'll give you an example. My cousin Nancy, who passed away, I want to say Nancy passed away at least 10 years ago, maybe 11. She's 6 months younger than I am. And Nancy died when she was 44. Well, in the 60s, we find out that Nancy has juvenile diabetes. That's what it was called, juvenile diabetes. And in the end, she was declared legally blind. And she, I think, had at least a quadruple bypass. I think my mother said at one point quintuple, but it may have been a quadruple bypass. Okay. And in the end, it all became too much, and she passed away. So again, 60s diagnosis, research, of course, 60s, 70s, 80s, and it just advanced and progressed in her body, and It got to her eyesight, and it got to her heart, and she eventually passed away. It's different now. It's still incredibly life-changing. I don't think people knew that there was type 2 diabetes, which is what I have. So I take medication, but I also take a shot once a week. So every Monday, so Monday morning, it was today, and I took it. And the ability to manage it, I would imagine, is much greater now than it was when she was diagnosed in the 60s. So he has the ability to understand diet better, medications, using a pen, and so forth. But he's also showing that you can excel at a high level in a sport where your reactions are critical, your awareness of what's around you critical, your peripheral vision, primary vision. And again, remember, diabetes affects vision. I know I have to be checked once a year, although Dr. Marla Moon is saying, get your backside in here now. And I think that what he's doing is remarkable. And it's a great inspiration for others. So we were thrilled to have Charlie Kimball on today. Tomorrow, Dwayne Anderson, who's the new assistant basketball coach with the Nittany Lions. Tony Knopp, CEO of Spotlight Ticket Management, is going to be on the show Wednesday. Donnie Collins, we had to move him to Thursday to accommodate his schedule. Mark Wogenrich is going to be on Friday along with Tony DeFazio, Pittsburgh Sports Report.
You know, one of the things that you were talking about with Charlie was the fact that he's wired into the steering wheel. And the,
yes.
You know, I thought that was really interesting because everything literally on an IndyCar is wired into the steering wheel. And now the driver is, too. He can actually monitor his blood sugar on the steering wheel the way he does his fuel and the RPMs. And they can monitor in the pits as well. That's what I thought that was really interesting.
Yeah, that really was interesting to me as well because I didn't realize that he was hooked in and could actually see a reading on his blood sugar level while in the car. So he knows if it gets to a certain point, say he gets low sugar, say his sugar, instead of being in the 90s, suddenly falls back into the 60s, into the 70s, he has that orange juice in the car. He can take it and give him a little bit of a sugar surge and jolt and get him going again because he can see the reading in the car.
Yeah, he's wired in with water and an orange juice that he can switch back and forth between.
Right.
And then I think the other thing he said was he's never had to use the orange juice. Did I hear that right?
He's never had to use the orange juice.
Wow.
Well, he has to do, based on what he said in the interview, he has a pre-race regimen that day, probably what time he eats, what he eats, leading into the race, so it's all timed out right.
Yeah, I'm sure.
And evidently, if he has yet to go to the orange juice, that must indicate that whatever regimen he's been doing on race day is right on the mark.
It's been working well.
Give him a lot of credit.
So you're supposed to, in this half hour, make me feel better about the running back situation for the Pittsburgh Steelers, especially coming up tonight. And then, you know, I know there's a lot of Redskins fans that are worried about RG3 for the same reasons that the Steeler fans are worried about the running backs. Injuries.
Well, I mean, can we start with RG3?
Sure.
He's coming off a torn ACL. And I think he's a magnificent young quarterback, like everybody else thinks he is. Really good. And I would think that you would want to be careful with somebody who's going to be the performance and face of your franchise for the next decade if things were to work out right. What's the need to rush him back for preseason games? Give him as much time as is needed so he can be as close to 100% as possible. I think he knows the offense. And Kirk Cousins is certainly a competent backup, and Kirk Cousins knows his role. Kirk Cousins knows he's not seizing this or taking it away. There's not going to be a clash between the two because Kirk Cousins understands who RG3 is, a very special talent, and is the leader, one of the leaders on that football team. Running back situation, I can't make you feel better about.
Great.
I can only make you feel better about it is when Bell gets out there, because I think when he gets out there, he can be a good NFL back. He has the power, better athleticism than people realize, as evidenced by a couple of hurdle plays he had last year with Michigan State. And I thought he was a really good draft pick for the Steelers. But until he gets out there, I can't make you feel better about it.
Do the Redskins have to do something a little bit different with Cousins, though, in running the offense than with RG3?
Well, of course, he can't run the read option. I mean, Kirk Cousins didn't even run that at Michigan State. But all the pass plays that they have in, I mean, he certainly can run every one of the pass plays, but it does take the read option possibility off the table for them because RG3 is a special talent. Doug in Wellsboro. Hi, Doug. How are you today?
Hi, guys. How are you?
Doing well. It's great to hear from you, Doug.
Hey, has there been any discussion today about the book Fourth and Long?
No, there hasn't, but I did. John Bacon was at practice this morning, and I did talk to him a little bit. Oh, what are your thoughts when you saw it, Doug? Or at least I know excerpts. It's only been excerpts, but what were your thoughts?
Well, that's my question. Based on the excerpts we've seen so far, from what you know, what's true? Are the excerpts true, or are they? I mean, there's two sides of it. Jay had another side of responded to it, but based on what you knew, did Drew Astorino ask him to pull Bolden in the Illinois game? Is that true?
You know, Doug, for Jack and me, we're in the booth. Even Lauren Crispell, as great a job as Lauren does, Lauren's not in the locker room at halftime. Yeah, so something like that. Who related that story? Was it Michael Motti that related that story?
I believe so, yeah.
Okay. I think when you sit down, if a person relates that story, and Michael Motti certainly is, I think, showing him to be a credible individual. How about that? I mean, if he related that story and that's his version of what happened, then I say so be it, and it's fine that everybody finds out about it. Jay responded to it, and I'm going to assume Jay responded to it in such a way where it was, hey, look, in the heat of battle, things are said and so forth. Does that sound typical?
Yeah, he took the high road. I mean, he basically glossed over it, and, you know, they were all for fighting for one goal type thing, you know. So, I mean, I do believe the stuff Motti said about, you know, John Thomas tried to have the Georgia quarterback that Aaron Murray call him and recruit him, things like that. But some of the other stuff, I didn't know. I'm not sure what to believe or what not to believe at this point.
Well, if it's quotable, if it's quoted stuff, let's just say it's quoted, and then it's someone's version of the story as to how they saw it. Now, at least they're putting their name behind it, right? So if they're putting their name behind it, I'll give it a little more credibility as to their version of the events. I mean, if it's anonymous sources, I back off a little bit on it sometime. Or if it's just told in story form, I back off on it as well. But when somebody's trying to relate what they saw, then I think you'd sit back and I think, at least for me personally, when I read it, and I don't know about you, Doug, but if it's quoted, I give it a little more credibility. Especially if it's a source I would trust. How do you view it?
I agree with you. If they put their name to it, there's probably something to it. Hey, something totally different. How's the offensive line looked in practice so far?
Yeah, they've been good. There was one scrimmage where I thought the defensive line really got to them, I thought, Doug. But for the most part, they've been pretty good. And what's really helped is that outside of Adam Gress, I shouldn't say just Gress, because Nelson's been banged up too, the freshman, and they like Nelson a lot, Doug. They really do. And neither one is a season-ending injury. Neither one is. In fact, they both could be back by the end of the week, but they've both missed a little bit of time. So this is the way they've lined up. It's been Howell at center. Diefenbach and Urschel have been the guards. Urschel's been really good. I think Diefenbach's had a good camp too. And Donovan Smith has a chance to be, I think, a next level kind of tackle if he continues to progress. Now it's the right tackle spot that they need to shore up. And it's been between Eric Shrive and Gary Gilliam. Now Shrive, as we all know, came in with great promise, and Eric has worked very, very hard. But you can't sometimes help your body type. Eric is very top heavy, and that doesn't, you know, at times that doesn't help him. And for Gary Gilliam, he has the good feet. He has the long arms, which give you good extension on that outside part. But you have to remember, too, Gary Gilliam is not used to being pounded on by defensive ends time and again, and that's something he's going to have to get used to. I think Gary has a chance to be a very good offensive tackle. Shrive at least has some experience. So the offensive line, I think, has done well, and Saturday did very well. And I think that part's going to be okay. I think that part's going to be okay, Doug.
What's your best guess? Hackenberg or Ferguson?
Oh, the golden
question. Don't weasel out of it,
Steve.
Don't weasel out of it. Give me a guess. You find a 3-year deal, so you're secure, so you can guess.
Oh, I'm secure.
I think it'll be a player that has a quarterback listed as his position. How's that?
Let's see. How about if I phrase it this way? It's a pure guess on my part because I have nothing in the decision making. I would not be shocked if youth were served.
Okay, I got you. Hey, tell Kevin Moore. I hear you.
Yeah, I mean, you have a 3-year deal. You're all set. Say anything you want. Doug, I wish you were my agent.
There's a tweet here from Jeff Nelson that says that 3-year deal may be retracted. That's weird. How'd that get on there?
A doggone Doug.
What? Well, tell Kevin I want more Julio Iglesias bumper. Where's my bumper music?
We haven't talked about him enough.
All right. Have a good day, guys.
Thank you so much, Doug.
Thanks, too.
Doug. We'll come back and wrap it up with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Told the girl say once.
By request.
Yeah, it's interesting as Doug was talking about, you know, whether the incident in the locker room was true or not. And of course, you know, Jack and I aren't there, and I feel badly for Lauren because Lauren does such a great job. He was a great addition last year. His halftime interviews with Bill were really informative for Jack and me, let alone the audience. And keeping us up to date on things. And you know, Jack and I have encouraged Lauren to jump in even more when he sees something, you know. Lauren is such a nice guy, but he doesn't go in the locker room at halftime. So, like, say something were to happen at halftime, he couldn't even privately tell us because they don't let him in at halftime. Sometimes that sideline reporting job is the hardest job. I think it's of the three jobs, I think mine's the easiest.
But on the sideline, okay, thanks.
Yeah, but I mean,
the door gets shut.
Sideline guy, I mean, I think that's of the three jobs, that's the toughest job of the three. I think mine's the easiest. Then what Jack does, I think, is, you know, seeing everything and his knowledge of the game and his ability to impart that knowledge on the air. But then Lauren tries to slip in, you know, little items here and there, or tries to get an injury report, you know, in the heat of battle, he's there with two questions on the field with Bill, you know, and maybe something just went wrong right before the interview. You don't know.
That's the hardest one is when you have a bad first half and you have to ask two questions. That's okay. What two questions am I going to ask?
And he's such a good guy. And he's such a good guy because I finally talked to him. I think it was before the Navy game. It's like the third game. I said, hey, can I talk to you about something? He said, look, I said, it's okay to jump in and talk to us whenever you want. I said, because you're invaluable. Because, I mean, we all just think the world of him. I mean, if you can't like Lauren Crispell, you can't like anybody. He and his wife just had a baby this year, with little Nathan, who's just adorable. Thank God he looks like his mother. But... we've encouraged them. Like, you know, if you see something, I'll give you a good example. We're doing. I was out before the Virginia game. I talked to him because there was a fumble on the play and Penn State recovered. And I knew Penn State recovered, but I, you know, because of the mass of bodies, I couldn't see it. And Lauren jumped right in since Gerald Hodges has it. Invaluable to what we're doing. And that's what he told me. He said, look, don't be afraid to jump in. You know, because he's so deferential. It's like, it's Lauren. It's all right.
That is one of the hardest things, though. You're right.
I think it's so hard what he does, and he's just really good. He's so smooth. He's like butter out there. He's great as to what he does. But
I had a coach one time, and it was a turnover right before half. They were driving downfield to try and get one more score in, and he had just gotten done talking about the turnover, and I use the term talking lightly. And I had to ask two questions before he went in the locker room, like, this is not going to be good. Let's stay away from the turnover. Stay away. And I don't know. I asked something really generic, and he goes, that doesn't matter. All that matters is the turnover that happened right a few minutes ago. Okay, that's right.
Right.
I mean, let's go ahead and answer that one then.
Yeah, I mean, we had always, Learfield had always talked to us about maybe bringing a sideline reporter in at some point. And they would always ask my opinion. And I said, no, because it doesn't affect me at all. I mean, you know, in terms of like what I say, I just didn't want words being taken away from Jack. I mean, you're talking about this is the best analyst in the game. So, well, they finally said, we're going to have a, you know, because Bill's there, because Joe didn't want a sideline reporter, you know, so. I mean, did it really matter whether we wanted one or not? You know, he didn't want one. Well, Bill was okay with it. So they said, well, we'd like to have Lauren do it. Well, that, you know, terrific. You know, and he's been, you know, he's a great addition. And just, like I said, if you can't like Lauren Crispell, then you are a cold-hearted individual because he's just a great guy.
You know, it always looked like Joe didn't.
And by the way, he does great work. It's not just that he's a great guy. He's just really a good, solid pro.
It always looked like Joe didn't want to do the TV halftime interviews either, that he wasn't real comfortable but knew he had to do them. That was just my observation.
Well, it didn't look like it was his favorite thing of the week.
No, exactly.
But we couldn't hear them. See, we can't hear them. We have the
monitor. You only get the monitor.
There. Right, but we're also talking at the same time. So maybe we can glance down or whatever. But like, I usually find out a lot of things from the fans after the game. Did you hear it? You know, he said this or didn't do it. Like, really? Because we can't hear it. But how's the caption contest going?
I don't know. Feel free to go onto Facebook and take a look at the photo and make your own caption. I know I did.
Oh, boy. Today's show was brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury, on News Radio 1070 WOK.
This is Frank Setapani, CBS News. Happy to be part of News Radio 1070 WKOK's 80 years of broadcast excellence.